We're talking with Todd Tillman. Todd is one of the artists that's coming in for our Artist in the Round concert with Mark Schultz and Aaron Schust on the 26th of June. And Todd is, wow, I don't know what to say. You have impacted this radio station so very much over the last little bit here. It's amazing awesome. How much material that we found that we like that you actually have created. So,
well, thank you, man. I appreciate that.
I guess we should get out the one question that you've answered 2,000 times now, and that is you were the winner of The Voice in 2020.
Yeah.
And we want to get that out of the way because we know that you've been asked that by 15 or 20 different people probably in the last week. But how did that ever take place? That's amazing to me that, you know, someone with a family like you have and how did that ever come about?
Oh, man, you know, I will say that is a really long, complicated story. So I'll give you the condensed version of it. I was actually starting somewhere around 2016, 2017. I always kind of, I don't know, I kind of joke around and say maybe I was having a midlife crisis. I don't know. I just kind of entered a place in my life where it's hard to put my finger on it. I just knew something needed to change and I needed to shift. And so I kind of just started digging into lots of different things. I thought about going back to school, but school, I'm not really a great student as far as like a classroom student. I'm a good hands-on guy. Anyway, I looked at a bunch of different things and I ended up landing on real estate. I was going to get my real estate license and do that. But honestly, and every bit of it, there was like a kingdom vision behind it. I wanted to just sort of be able to love on people at a ground level, you know, and show them Jesus just at a ground level. And I was going to do that. And in the meantime, all this transpired over a couple of years. And in the meantime, I was singing little snippets of songs on Instagram. And a friend of my sister's saw it and she sent a link in my direct messages. And the link was to an open call audition for The Voice. So I talked to my wife about it and we were like, oh, we might as well give it a shot. So I filled it out and there was a couple of months between that and the actual audition. And in that meantime, I changed my mind and decided not to do it. But then, because sort of the story out in the world is that my wife pushed me to go and she did, but that's when I changed my mind and decided not to go. She jumped in and reminded me that we tell our kids to take risks and we tell our kids to, you know, go on adventures and do the things that might make people think you're crazy. And so anyway, I went. I just showed up to the audition in Atlanta, Georgia, never dreamed that I would even get through that audition. And then now here we are.
Well, one of my thoughts was, what did your wife think about that? And what did your kids think about that when I first heard that? So I guess they were all for it.
All were on board.
Were they?
Yeah, we have always been and still are kind of an adventurous family. And so they were all for it. They probably were more for it than I was.
Really? Did you ever really expect to go that far? Or was it like, just I'm going to put my toe in the water and that's it?
Oh, no. I literally, I tell the story all the time, all over the place when I'm touring. I was so convinced, so sure that I wouldn't get through that audition that I knew the process. The process is that if they give you a yes, they schedule a callback audition the next day. It's like an appointment, so you don't have to wait in line all day. But I was so sure that they would say no that I didn't even bring clothes for the callback audition. I had to go buy some clothes, you know. And every week we figured this was the week that we were going to get kicked off the show. And even in the finale, they told us in the commercial break, because you know it's live. I think there's a delay of I don't know so many seconds, but or whatever. Anyway, they went to the commercial break and they told us. They said when we come back from the commercial break, we're going to announce the winner. We're not going to announce third place. We're not going to announce second place. We're just going to announce the winner. And when they did that, even then, I turned around to my kids because, you know, it was COVID. So we were remote, all of my family. And, you know, a lot of people have a lot of questions about that. I try to look at the silver lining, which is that to this day, still, I'm the only person that ever won the show that my whole family was there. We all won together. You know, I turned around to my kids even then. And I said, hey, y'all, when they announce the winner, don't make an ugly face. Don't cry. Just smile and clap and they'll take us off the screen, you know? And, you know, and I told them then, like, I get it. It's disappointing. Once they take us off the screen, you wanted to win. You didn't win. Then you can be upset. But don't do it while they got us on screen. We just never, ever dreamed in a million years we'd win.
You know, you brought up the family being there, and I'm going to bring up the family. I've watched so much of your video. It's a bit addictive. I must tell you that I don't know how much of that music you write and how much of it is you getting from other songwriters, but there is a huge, and I think this is common to Mark Schultz as well and Aaron, mm-hmm. and there's a huge emphasis on family and relationships in those families in a lot of the music that you do.
Yeah, most of the stuff I co-wrote, you know, most of the stuff that I've released, especially I co-wrote. And yeah, we just, you know, you're sitting around those rooms and you just sort of end up talking about the things that are important to you and that are meaningful to you. But then on the other hand, it's been really important to me all along that I could hopefully, you know, and how successful it is, I guess it's not for me to say, but like, hopefully I wanted to write music that was heavy on faith, but also maybe people that weren't believers would listen. And I know that there are certain things that sort of, you know, threads that sew us all together. And family is one of those. And family's a huge, huge deal to me. We wrote a book about all of our family's adventures and stuff. Mm-hmm. I say adventures, you know, I tell my kids all the time that adventure rarely feels like adventure while you're living it, you know? It's usually when you look back on it. But family's just always been a huge, I mean, even right now as I'm talking to you, we're shifting and we're making some pretty big changes in our lives right now because number one, I want to do what God wants me to do. I want to follow the call of God on my life. And a very close second to that is I don't want to be away from my family all the time. So, you know, it's just family's just always been kind of after the Lord, really, really a very close second to the Lord in my life.
I think, let me ask you a couple of things. One is Country Roads. Is that your daughter?
That's my little girl.
Is that your little girl?
She's 10 now, but she was only 5 or 6 then.
That's one they should stop and check out on the video. And the other one is, this is something I watched it 3 times. You did a song called Grow As We Grow. And I think you called it True Representation of My Family. And I've watched that video 3 times now because to me, there's Todd Tillman. I mean, it's just.
Yeah, that actually is a cover song. But yeah, it's we got married so young, you know. Me and my wife were, man, I was 20 years old and she was 18. We were high school sweethearts, you know. And so we got married super young and it's interesting. You know, it's interesting because I think sometimes you go into McDonald's early in the morning and you see an old couple sitting there having their coffee. And in your mind, you think, man, that's beautiful. I hope that's me. But you never stop to consider, you know, the battles they fought to get there, you know, to get to that McDonald's table, that, you know. So that song has just been such a true representation that there's been plenty of times that we actually, our family did way years and years ago, man. I think it was like 2002, 2003. We almost divorced. I mean, we were inches away from divorce and that song actually kind of covers some of the reasons why, you know, we were kind of thinking maybe we got married too young and we didn't get to go out there and live. And man, now we've been married. Oh man, this November will be 28 years. And I wouldn't take anything for the story that God's written for us, you know?
Well, you were successful with that particular video for sure of catching my attention because, there's some beautiful pictures in there of your family.
Yeah.
How many children do you
have? Thank you. Well, you know, that's a trick question.
Oh, is it?
We have 8 kids. That if you just say, how many kids do we have 8 kids. Oh. But our oldest son got married a year ago, actually almost exactly a year ago. The 21st of this month is a year. So that makes 9. We have a new daughter-in-law. And then we have a little foster baby right now. And hopefully we'll end up getting to adopt her. So that makes 10. And then my third oldest son gets married in September. So they're not quite married yet. He's engaged. So I always like to say that the number that we're at right now is 10 and a half.
My goodness. I had no idea. I knew from the pictures I could count, you know, I could see up to a certain number, but it didn't go to 10 or 10 and a half.
We have just our immediate family. We have 8 kids. God put it together in a unique way. You know, 2 of our girls are international. We adopted from Korea. Then we're Well, I mean, it's not certain yet, but we feel pretty certain that we'll get to adopt our foster baby. So that'll make our immediate family 9 kids. So there'll be 11 of us then officially. Mm-hmm. We count it official right now, but it's not like on paper. She's not adopted yet.
That just makes me want to pause and think about that. There's something very, very terrific about that story that you just told. You'll share a little bit with that as you come here. You know, I am going to ask you about one thing, and you can give me a quick answer, but one of my favorite songs that I like, one's called Holy Place. Did you write that?
Mm-hmm.
That is so personal. It sounds so personal, and it so fits my life, too. In other words, it's not just about you. It's about all of us.
Yeah, that's what we hoped for. Yeah, just because, you know, I'm part of the church. I love the church. I grew up in church. I love corporate worship. I never would ever take anything away from that. But I always felt like me and God, I don't know, I just feel like we jive better when I'm out on the trail early in the morning or, you know, if you've ever been in the room, and I have, I've been there 6 times. If you've ever been in a room when a baby was born, and that's a holy moment, you know, God is in that moment. And so that's the whole reason that we wrote that. We wanted to, we didn't write these words in the song, but I remember as we sat around the room that day writing that song, we just sort of wanted to shine a light on these things that really are burning bushes in our lives, but we might overlook them and see them as ordinary, you know, but really they're kind of like burning bushes. God's there, you know, and it's a holy, holy moment and a holy place.
So. Yeah. I relate to that a little bit. I've got a little story, which I don't share with anybody, but it's about a Sonoma pickup truck. And I had an experience in a Sonoma pickup truck one time that is directional, and it was like a bright light kind of thing. And I'm telling you, it's just a beautiful moment that sometimes we take little things for granted like that I think that we could evaluate a little more how important they are into our lives.
Beneath a Sunday steeple, 'cause I can feel his presence in an everyday cathedral, from the back porch cup of coffee mountaintop, the sanctuary stays the same. I'm in a holy place. Ooh, I'm in a holy place.
It's so much of it is about real life, you know, things that you actually experience. And I think you're very gifted in sharing that with people. It's almost like we've never met, we've never talked. With what you've done with this music, what you've done with your stories, it's like I've known you all my life. Now, that's a pretty powerful thing to say, you know, to share, be able to share that much with that. So I think Aaron and Mark and you guys all getting together on that stage is going to be kind of a special night for sure. My daughter actually saw you at the Ark. I think it's been a couple of years ago. I don't remember how long it's been, but have you done that often there?
I actually just wrapped up a couple of weeks ago, but I was there. I went for the 40 Days of Christian Music Festival. I've gone to that just as a solo artist for, 3 or 4 years. Mm. But then for the past about, I don't know, not quite a year and a half, I was part of there's like a group, like a resident artist group there. And I was part of that group for a while. We sort of shifted gears, not the group, me and my family. And so I'm not able to do that anymore. But yeah, I was there pretty much every day during the week for about, 16 months or so.
Let me go to another song that kind of has been important to us around here at this radio station. It's a song that it's called Worth It All. And it's a song that I wanted a little bit of information about how you came up with taking a song like that. And that's a cover song. And how did you ever come up with the idea of Rita Springer is going to tag in that song? And golly, it's one of the most powerful moments that we rotate here at BVN.
Oh, man, you know, that song has just been so insanely, meaningful in our lives, you know, for me and my wife and my family. And just because, you know, the thing is, I can't speak for everybody, but I do feel like to a certain degree, we're all living a similar experience, especially those of us who are people of faith, in that we kind of end up in these times in our lives where we're like, God, you know, what are you doing? You know, we're praying and we're trying to believe here and we're trying to walk in faith, but it just seems like, you know, it literally seems like we're saying, God, we prayed and prayed and prayed, and now Lazarus is dead. You know, it's too late. You know what I mean? You kind of get to those places. And so it's just been a really very meaningful song. And I don't even remember how long ago it was. It's probably been at least 3 or 4. I don't think it's 5, but 5 years ago, I kind of had heard the song. It was just on in one of my playlists, you know, on my phone, and it played in the car. And I really just, honestly, on a whim, I went on Rita Springer's website and I sent a message. You know, a lot of people think these things are way more like fancier or whatever. I don't know the word I'm looking for.
Yeah.
I just went on her website and I sent a message and I said, hey, I really love this song. Do you think it would be possible that Rita would be willing to feature and cover the, well, it's not a cover for her, but for me it is, sing it with me. I didn't really expect him to say yes. And so once she said yes, then my brain went in overdrive, like, oh man, is there another song? Like, cause I love a ton of Rita Springer stuff, but I'm like, no, the whole reason that I did this is because of how meaningful this song is in my, and how personal it is. And so that's how that all played out. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Understand your ways. Oh, but I will give you my song. I'll give you all of my praise. You hold on to all my pain, and with it you are pulling me closer, pulling me into your ways. Now around every corner and up every mountain, I'm not looking for crowds or the water from fountains. I'm desperate and seeking and frantic believing that the sight I believe that it's gonna be worth it. It's gonna be worth it. It's gonna be worth it all.
I don't understand your ways. Oh Lord, I will give you my song and I'll give you all of my praise. You hold on to all my faith, and with it you are pulling me closer, pulling me into your ways. Now
Well, you can tell that it's a heartfelt song. You know, before we quit this conversation, I want to make sure I give you an opportunity to, one, maybe describe what the Christmas tour thing with Mark and Aaron was like a little bit. I've heard a little bit about Aaron telling me you fried eggs for him for breakfast.
Yeah.
But how that was kind of set up. And then I guess the second part of that would be, you know, I know you guys are coming in here to share a moment as well, very similar to that. So maybe you can give us a little hint about what to expect here.
Yeah. Oh, man, the Christmas thing, the way that it worked out was my manager actually, and when I always feel weird when I say words like that because it makes me sound way more important than I really am. You know, when I say like my manager, but I always tell people it looks way cooler on Instagram, you know, than it is in real life. But I know him too. I know him as Greg as well. But my manager and Greg are good friends, and so I met Greg, who is Mark's manager.
Sure.
I kind of met him through my manager several, actually, believe it or not, just because God's good. I mean, because Lord knows there's nothing that I've done to earn it. But I got to sing on the Grand Ole Opry, you know, and Greg came to that, and that's when I met him. So somewhere, oh man, maybe even about this time, I may be wrong about that, but I think it might have been about this time last year, my manager reached out and he said, hey, you know, they're putting this Christmas tour together. Would you be interested? And I was like, absolutely. You know, for me, I have a little bit of imposter syndrome because I'm like, you know, these guys are guys that have been soared in the, you know, top of the Christian charts for much of their lives. And I'm just out here singing music and doing the best I can, you know? And so, anyway, I said yes to that. And we started the tour and I sort of was opening for them because it was Mark and Aaron, and then I was the opener. So at first I was just going to keep opening, but then they said, hey, why don't we just jump in the round instead? And so I did, and I feel like God just put that together. We just really had a good interaction or banter or whatever on the stage. And also I built a good relationship with those guys while we were out there on the road. And so it just was a really great, meaningful time. And so this time, this show, I'm sure it won't be Christmas, but what I do is I joke a lot about it, but it's also the truth is I kind of let them sing their number one hits and stuff. And I usually just sing stuff that everybody kind of knows so we can sing together. My literally, as far as music goes, my very first love is leading worship anyway. So I like to sing and with the people and listen to them sing. And so we actually just, even this week, we've been texting back and forth about what songs we're going to do together. So it's just it's like a very personal time. It doesn't feel like a concert. It almost feels like you're sort of sitting around the living room singing songs and telling stories and loving on the Lord all together, you know?
Well, we've been doing this for 36 years now, and I can tell you that this is one of the most anticipated events that I think we've done in those 35, 36 years is what happens. You know, when Mark says something and Aaron says something about you, that means something is really, really sincere about that. In other words, those guys just don't throw out compliments to be pretty, to be popular.
That. Yeah,
and, you know,
you.
So what they have told me about their experience with you has been quite awesome. And we have a lot of anticipation of what's going to happen that night, because it is going to be, it's a personal night. It's not a performance. Mm-hmm. It's
right.
More personal and relationship than that. And you know, Mark's been here. He started in 2001, and he's been here 26 times. And that's not because of his music only. Mm-hmm. It's because of his heart. And his heart gets measured here, and these people respond to that. So that's what's going to happen coming up on June 26th is another night that's going to be very, very special. You know, I know we need to get on down the road here, but I will say this, what you share in Jesus Christ and what you share about your family is a blessing. Anybody that has touched those videos and spent some time with that, it's been well worth your time and effort to share those with people. I'm changed by what I have discovered just by promoting this concert.
Oh,
I wasn't aware of all that, but you're kind of, you give me hope in family and you give me hope in the gospel. And
well, thank you, man.
I think it's going to be an extraordinary evening. I hope you can enjoy it as much as we will enjoy it here.
Yes, sir. Oh, I know we will. I can't wait. I love those guys. And just the people, as far as the crowd who comes, I just love people. I don't guess I do it perfectly, but I sure do love people. So I can't wait.
Thank you, Todd Tillman, for giving us a call.
Yes, sir. Thank you.